the Badgers clearly weren't here today. However, it doesn't mean you cannot get there and get back to it, but you have to be able to play more complimentary, and you just have to be able to play your best game. And they didn't allow themselves to have a chance there because they didn't bring their best game.
This is usually where we break down the statistics. And I know sometimes statistics are for liars and you can manipulate it however you want. But the thing is, Billy, total yards 454 to 209. And the one criticism I can have of the team so far this year is they really haven't established the run all that well. Now, sure, some of that is because Jake Renfro should be applauded for trying to go today, because I don't know him that well.
Incredible effort by that young man.
Yes. Yeah. Like it was touch and go if he was going to go. He said, I want to go. They cleared him. Obviously he got hurt really early. You know, it clearly wasn't probably 100%, whatever. So you've had some offensive line shuffling, but I think, you know, you had Dupree had the most carries, 7 for 26. Dylan Jones, 5 for 25. Yacomelli, 5 for 21. You know, quite frankly, what, you know, I think it's 34 carries for 92 yards, so basically 2.7 per touch. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get it done.
Oh,
and I know some of that's the offensive line shuffling, and some of that's just learning a new system, new offensive coordinator, Jeff Grimes, whatever, but I think that's the area of improvement that they're talking about, in my opinion, Billy, is they need to establish some type of identity on offense. They've gotten the tight ends kind of involved. I marked down, you know, obviously Lance Mason with another couple of catches this week. They got Steck involved early, and that's good to see, because I think that's where the Badgers offense is at its best, is when they get the tight ends involved. I like the explosiveness of Vinny Anthony, even though that came on a kickoff return. I think you got to use Tretch and Vinny in that aspect. But I do think they need to establish the run a little more than what they have in order to establish the identity of what they want to be going forward.
And you're going to need to be able to establish the run to extend some of those drives and find more opportunities to get the ball into, as you mentioned, Grant Steck's hands, who catches the first pass here today, gains 9, got the Badgers rolling early. Sadly, not enough, as Alabama rolls and the Crimson Tide get a 38-14 victory. They extend their home record here to 2-0, 2-1 are both teams after today's result. More of our local Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show coming up. This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Hi, it's Matt LePay, voice of the Badgers. On the field, the Badgers are always on the move. Off the field, that's where Evans Transportation comes in. As Wisconsin's 3PL, they move over 30,000 shipments a year right here in the Badger State. That's dedication to keep things moving here in Scotty. Evans is excited to support Badger student athletes and is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Find them at evanstrans.com. That's evanstrans.com. Go Badgers!
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist, end the friendship. Or choose chill, because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill.
Celebrate responsibly. 2025 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
JJ and TJ.
Picked off by TJ, what?
Russ and Barry.
Hello, Russell Wilson.
This is Badger Football from Learfield.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess Linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Turn things all the way up and find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
Are you ever questioning when life life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington.
So that's me crushing on the book. We'll get into it. But thank you, Randy, for writing it and for sharing it with us in the world.
Oh, my God, Johnny, you got you. You without, I mean, for your listeners, we didn't talk about this beforehand. You got exactly what I was going for the audience of teachers, for the audience of parents. What I was going for is, oh, that's why they're smearing teachers. Like, it's not test scores. It's because teachers are trying, despite everything that's happening in society, they're trying to create a safe and welcoming environment where they build opportunity for all and where they push our kids to critically think. And they need a little bit of power in order to do this instead of them getting crushed. And then to also basically layer on, like, what's going on in this last decade that's so different than beforehand? Because what's happened in the last decade is we have an erasure. You know, look, it started with Donald Trump going after Barack Obama, saying he's not a citizen of the United States, and people still believing it. Or the people that we saw with our own eyes what happened on January 6th, and then saying, oh, no, that was just visitors to the Capitol. So this notion of why is this happening, this disinformation, this misinformation, this fear of the other, this fascistic behaviors. And so I wanted to do both the, you know, identifying fascistic behaviors. Look, I am a AP Gov teacher. I am not an academic, but I wanted to identify those behaviors. Spoiler alert, I do not call anybody, I do not label anybody a fascist, because I didn't want the book to be about is he or isn't he. I wanted it to be about the fascistic behaviors and why there's such a fear of teachers. And it's a fear of what we do. It's a fear of us pushing kids to learn and to enjoy learning and to think. And it's a fear of pluralism and having public education as, you know, basically this public good of all these kids who are different and families who are different coming together. Remember the whole idea about a salad bowl or a melting pot? And so to hear you, Johnny, say that's what spoke to you, it is a love story of my so many years in education to the members I represent who have done so much to help kids thrive. And so I wanted that. I'm so grateful that that's what you took out of it.
Johnny. And for you. Yeah. And for the listener, you're going to get to get a copy of this. You're going to grab it. You're going to want it. But the best, one of the best things, Randy, is you're a teacher too. I mean, you talk about the things you are, a lawyer, all the things, president of the AFT, but you're a teacher, and that shines through.
Wow.
And each chapter being a lesson that is like it's engaging and thoughtful. So appreciate that. It's like,
The end of it, I have to wear my glasses these days when I read, but you know, there is this poster that a teacher gave me that I've trucked with me to every office I have that says, I inspire, I encourage, I empower, I nurture, I activate, I motivate, I change the world. I am a teacher. That is how teachers feel, even with everything that Donald Trump and others are throwing at us, even with this new decision about ICE that came out of the Supreme Court today.
Right.
We try and help kids. That's not only our job, That's our occupation. That is our avocation. Nobody goes into teaching other than wanting to make a difference in the lives of kids. And teachers should be revered, not reviled. Teachers should be given. I mean, look at what's happening this year in terms of supplies and the fact that with everything that's going on with affordability, teachers are taking more money out of their pockets. Parents are taking more money out of their pockets. Where is the money? Why give that money to billionaires? Why are we not giving that money to kids in schools?
See, and man, so much comes up here, and Johnny, great lead in and coming back with this. I gotta first go though, Randy. I agree with you 100%. Fear fascistic. I love that too. I got a new word for my vocabulary. I didn't make it fascistic behavior. It's a fear of teachers, but isn't it also a realization that when teachers get to be that force, really about why they became a teacher anyway, it's really the realization of if we allow teachers to be teachers, to do the work that they thought they were originally going to do, inspire, create connections, bring togetherness, understand differences. That is what we fear, is allowing teachers to do the work that they originally wanted
to do. Exactly right. Right. Exactly right. And you know, Tim, you and Johnny know, like I know, that if kids are in your classroom, I mean, if they're in your class and you're trying to figure out how to bring the best out of them, how to force them to think. And sometimes it is forcing them to think. We have to think about what's heard, what's felt, how to open them up so that they're really thinking, that they're problem solving, they're taking a fact, applying something and getting to it, a conclusion. You know, sometimes we have to push them. Mm-hmm. And they have to be uncomfortable. And how dare somebody say that is not within the ambit of teaching? The struggle of slavery. Yeah. Yes, it makes some people uncomfortable. We have to teach about that. Anti-Semitism, racism, we have to teach about that. But it's also the success of the United States of America,
right,
being the country that these rebels who became founders of this country wanted to prevent us from ever having a tyrant or a king. That is the success of this country. We should be reveling in it and in it, not pretending that it didn't take struggle to get there. And that's what's so crazy about what, like, a PragerU or the right thing is doing.
My goodness. No, I love it. We are talking to the president of AFT, Randy Weingarten. Her new book, oh my God, it's so much. Why fascists fear teachers? Yeah, and anybody looking at the YouTube, you can see it, and we will definitely have links so that people can get it. But, you know, Randy here, man, and obviously our first segment's almost over already. What in the world? But, you know, it just reminds me, too, of, like, you know, when I originally made my first connection with Diane Ravitch in 2010 with her first book, where she was kind of made that connection, you know, The Great American Schoolhouse. And she really proclaimed and said, you know, for the longest time, this education reform, which has now resulted in where we are today, but even the very beginnings, education reform, it was in this language of fixing schools. And I remember Diane and I very much going, this has nothing to do with this. This whole reform movement is about taking away teacher autonomy and putting them into this, you will do, you will do that. So the test and punish movement, the reform movement, you know, No Child Left Behind. Oh, Every Child Succeeds, Race to the Top. So much of it there leads us to a brand new book by Randy Weingarten. And we're going to talk a lot more about it when we get back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
I love playing sports, especially for my school.
And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's almost like you can hear the boots coming down the street and the march with that music, Jacob. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. Our guest, Randy Weingarten, president of AFT, brand new book, Why Fascists Fear Teachers. And we said there's so many reasons. Probably the biggest reason is fear of teachers being teachers is the fear. But Randy, you led though in the book, just, you know, do a little sharing here with the story of Nazi occupied Norway and the teachers wearing paper clips, you know, in defiance. A great historical story. Do you see any potential new American paperclip wearing moments now, or anybody doing anything like that, or suggestions for how we rebrand the paperclip movement?
Well, you know what I loved about, and I have for those who
there it is
who are on YouTube. What I loved about the paperclip story is that the Norwegian teachers after Nazi occupation thought about how, without being able to, you know, show buttons or any other symbols, they wore paper clips because it was a way of being united and bound together. And it symbolized something that, you know, after a short while, 12,000 of the 14,000 teachers in Norway wore these paper clips, and then kids wore these paper clips, and the Nazis tried all sorts of things to stop them, to the point that they closed schools, and parents were, you know, and the teachers still kept teaching, and parents supported them. It was a way of showing a resistance to autocracy, to fascism, to totalitarianism. And in fact, some teachers went to labor camps and to concentration camps because they felt so connected. Now, look, I hope to God we never get to that place in the United States. We now have, you know, a sliding back of democracy. We are now sliding towards autocracy. We have not slid towards totalitarianism. Mm. But at the end of the day, I use that story as to show what teachers do as part of community and what teachers do in terms of education. And yeah, I would love to see if we had a paperclip moment in terms of this country. But you're already seeing the fact that teachers understand their assignment, and they understand that our job is to create a safe and welcoming environment where kids, to the extent that we have any latitude whatsoever, we create an engaging and relevant curriculum. And Tim, you were talking before about all the different levels of kind of top-down, there's Johnny, top-down reform. But what the focus of that was not just taking power away from local schools. I mean, in some ways, the irony of Trump saying, oh, no, we want local schools to have the power back, and this was taking it away. But this is what it was. It was divorcing schools. Yes. Think about, we used to have shop class. Right. Think about, we used to have civics. Think about, we used to have citizenship. It was pushing schools to simply be about English and math. That's what No Child Left Behind was. That's what the testing is. And now you got the woe is me crowd. That's like, how come we don't teach civics? Well, if you double up on English and math classes all the time, and all you do is say to school systems, your accountability is about English and math, what the heck else do you think they're going to teach? And so there's not a reflection of these, you know, powers that be, that maybe they got some of this wrong. Instead, what we have is even more of a path of going to fragmentation with vouchers and with this and homeschooling, as opposed to what creates community and what do we need to do to help kids thrive.
Yeah. There's so much just there, the way you bring this together. And I think that from Johnny's standpoint too, this is why, listener right there, wherever you are out there listening, either podcast to the broadcast right now, when you get this book and you start to read, your immersion, your own conscious immersion will start to pull you in to a story that you start to go, what in the world happened? And so teachers, you're thinking out there, but you know, Prandy, and here we are almost done with our second segment here. But I like too, because Johnny and I have said busted pencils. Yes, it's for teachers. Yes, it's for public school teachers. But it's also for our neighbor who might go, oh, I didn't know that. Or that's the way, and that to me is, that's who I want to give this book to, is my neighbors.
That's exactly, so Tim, that is exactly why, I mean, look, you and Johnny, like I, we have seen what teachers do. We know what teachers do. We have taught. But what the stories, like the stories about Abby Clemens, about Raphael Bonhom, about Ralph, about Ryan Richmond, Barbara Johns, these are names people don't know, but these are who teachers are, and I wanted to make that accessible.
Man, that's what it is. And if you're wondering, really? Yeah, get the book. We're enjoying Randy Weingarten, president of AFT, brand new book. Got a lot more. Well, one more segment. And Johnny, so glad to see you back. Johnny's going to lead us off when we get back.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Far-right demonstrators clashed with police in London at a rally organized by activist Tommy Robinson, and a counter-demonstration was going on at the same time. The BBC's Nick Johnson says there have been arrests.
Things have got much more under control. The police have been on horseback. They've had the police dogs, and they've pushed a large group of Unite the Kingdom protesters away from Trafalgar Square.
In Provo, Utah, an emotional vigil for Charlie Kirk after his killing this week at an open-air rally.
Charlie came around at a point in time when a lot of us were afraid to voice our beliefs. We're afraid of the backlash from our peers.
There's mixed reaction in Memphis over word that President Trump is sending in the National Guard to help fight crime. Some in the majority black city don't think this is the way to solve the problem.
We have seen in other cities, like in D.C., that this was a complete waste.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
The Brewers cut the cards.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Cardinals last night here at AmFam Field, 8-2. Christian Yelich with his 28th home run of the year. Pitcher Quinn Priester on the Brewers getting their 90th win of the regular season.
Just really, you know, feel like we're proud of the work we've done. You know, we know that, you know, we control our own destiny. The ball's in our court, and just do the things that we've been doing, you know, all year, and keep this moving and keep winning and control what we do.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, Packers Hall of Famer Sterling Sharp was on hand for Thursday night's game at Lambeau Field and was asked what he thought when they unveiled his name in the stadium's Ring of Honor at halftime.
Well, I can't see that far because I have to have retina surgery on the 26th. So I was trying to look at the Jumbotron to kind of get a glimpse, but I know what it means and I know how it feels to be recognized at this level for doing one thing, and that was just wanting to play football.
That's Packers Hall of Famer Sterling Sharp with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. When not trying to push her bathwater soap on lonely men or selling her good jeans, Sid Sweeney does a little acting. The Sidster will play a boxer in the upcoming film Christy, based on the real life of boxer Christy Martin. Born in small town West Virginia, Christy Martin realized at a young age she was a good puncher and capitalized on that skill to become the best female boxer of the 90s. Despite not being released yet, the film has had a few eyes on it and is currently pulling a 61% on Rotten Tomatoes. Actor Joel Kinnaman is not a household name, but he has a solid fan base, and he seems perfect for a good crime story. So it's no surprise he is the choice to play the lead role in a new crime drama called Bishop. According to Deadline, Kinnaman plays Bishop Graves, a weathered, experienced detective who chases a killer preying on San Francisco's elite, only to find out that the crimes have a connection to his own father. The series is currently in development at Amazon MGM. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, slight chance of thunderstorm, otherwise partly sunny with highs around 80 degrees. Tonight, some patchy fog, a low around 59. Mostly sunny for Sunday, a high near 80. For Monday, sunshine, highs in the low 80s. Mostly sunny with a high near 83 Tuesday.
Right now, it's 80.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show...
I'm back!
Oh yeah, that's right. Jane is back, and we catch up on all the news she missed while she was away. Join us!
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, I love that coming back like that. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded. Education Talk, Educated Educators. Talking education, talking teachers, and why fascists fear them with our good friend, President of AFT, Randy Weingarten. Yeah, we're talking about her new book, Why Fascists Fear Teachers. Had an incredible conversation going on, you know, and yes, we said Johnny, but, you know, Johnny's having a little technical difficulty here. So just going forward with this. You know, Randy, I was thinking about this from the standpoint of a parent, right? Because we kind of touched on this, but, you know, so let's just say somebody goes, oh, geez, here we go again, bringing politics. I'm not political. I just want my kid to learn. How do you answer them then potentially at a book signing when they're like, here we go, another political rant by an educator?
You know, look, I would like politics to be out of classrooms as most parents want politics out of classrooms. And think about it this way. Every teacher I know, none of us, when a class starts, says, okay, the Democrats sit here, the Republicans sit here, the Independents sit here. What we end up doing, frankly, more than almost anywhere else in life, is we take a child, a young person, and say, our job is to connect with you, create a safe and welcoming environment, and really create ways and pathways so that you're thinking, you're exploring, you problem solve, you do the things that make you thrive. You learn resilience, you learn relationships, you do all of that. That is our job. Now, where politics comes in is actually when politicians stop us from doing our job. Mm-hmm. It's actually when we fight for funding that politicians don't want us to have. It's actually when, you know, you want to put a book in the library like Ruby Bridges or Anne Frank, and somebody says we're uncomfortable with our, you know, learning about these things. How can we be uncomfortable learning about different kids and their upbringing or their diversity and who they are and how we introduce them to each other? So the charge about politics is actually one that is that attempts to stop us from doing our job or to, you know, and so, but we have to explain it. Part of the problem that we also have as school teachers is that the moment there's any conflict or controversy, instead of trying to work through it, immediately there's a silence, there's a go into little rooms, there's a new rule. If we worked through it, if we actually dealt with it, it would actually be a lot better.
Right.
And we don't get it right all the time, but it would be a lot better. But instead, the secrecy, the lack of transparency, the, you know, putting it under the rug. And what I'm calling for is let's be real with each other. Yes, age appropriate. Mm-hmm. And let's do it in a way that is humane and loving. But I want kids to understand, if I'm a history teacher, I want them to understand the struggle around civil rights, the struggle of kids in Lyndon Johnson's classroom before he was president of the United States. They didn't have shoes, and he took money out of his pocket to actually help them. And that's part of the reason that we have a federal role in education. So a poor community like Mississippi that gets 20% of its funding from the federal government, that we can level the playing field. What is wrong with that? Why would anybody want to cut those federal funds for kids with disabilities or kids who are poor to what? Give another tax cut to billionaires? Why?
Johnny, you...
if that's political, if that's political, then give me a break.
Well, if that's political, count me in. Exactly. Johnny, you're in your car now, my friend.
You know, sometimes you got to move to the mobile office. I don't know how it sounds, but hopefully much better.
Perfect.
Yeah. Certainly not the high quality I'm listening to both of you in, but, you know, I had to switch gears, move to the mobile office, you know, pull up under a cell tower and make do. But Randy, I really love what you're saying and emphasizing. You share this in the book, that skill of listening to one another, of learning, of having that dialogue and having some of those real common sense kinds of conversations. It's a muscle that teachers are working out all the time.
Correct.
And you share stories in the book about, you know, even your own teaching at all different levels, whether it was at high school or whether you were teaching, you know, a class at the university, about how as teachers, we practice this. It's something we do in classrooms, even for ourselves.
Exactly.
But
right.
We listen and we don't argue with our students and things. We're, you know, crafting questions that help people think about
exactly
this.
Right.
And the book does exactly that. You were just sharing it, like the common sense or the nonsense that's become so common of how we would deprive the most in need in our communities of the opportunity to learn is just... It's how did we get here? Well, we have to work out that muscle of how we can engage in those conversations. So I appreciate you teaching that in your book as well, reminding us that's part of what we do.
There's one story I tell. Thank you, Johnny, very much for that. And look, I just want to say, you are practicing what we do all the time as teachers. We MacGyver better than MacGyver.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Exactly what you've done. You know, okay, the virtual doesn't work here. I'm going to go to my mobile office. How many of us did this during COVID all the time? You know,
yeah.
It's like, but part of what I wanted to do is I really wanted students, parents, families, teachers, frankly, anybody who's concerned with democracy or with freedom in America. Look, I am a patriot. You see my flag up there. Mm. I am sick and tired of people saying that those of us who really want the country to be better for everyone, of course we're patriots.
Yeah.
I love our country. And part of what I wanted to do was lift up the founders and their push. They were the ones who pushed to have education because they understood if kids were engaged in the pursuit of critical thinking, we wouldn't ever have another tyrant or king. And so I'm like going back to first principles. And that's who we are as Americans. We should rejoice in the education of young people. We should give this to everyone. We should make sure public schools are sacrosanct. Yes. Do we need to do better? Should we always be involved in improvement? Of course. But why would we want to take them away? Why would we want to defund or abandon them? And that's, frankly, what fascistic behavior is.
Yeah.
Us versus them, demonizing, dehumanizing, defunding, so that kids don't have the agency that they need to fly.
Well, and that's kind of it when you said whether totalitarian autocracy, but, you know, if you're inclined to want that, you then figure out where are the resistors to that. And boy, you know, truly American public education, if we take it down to what Johnny, we've been saying here at Busted Pencils, you know, yes, numeracy, literacy and all that stuff, but it's the foundation of democracy, of citizen understanding, of critical participation
Correct.
In this country. driven by a deep understanding of the past, whether that past be problematic or inspiring, and or guess what? Most of the times, both. Correct. And sometimes, a lot of times, uncomfortable, that's what we're potentially losing in this. And you'd say to somebody going, is this what you really want? And my guess is, yeah, maybe some autocratic type of billionaires are saying, yes, I absolutely want that because it's better for me. But if you ask my neighbor, my guess is they're going to say, oh, heck no, I don't want that. And so here we are coming up on this. And Randy, you know, there's so many things going on in the world. But then your book, just as Johnny started out the show, really gives us something to go, whoa, wait a minute. This is what I would do. This is what I want to be. This is where I believe I should be rallying my public schools. Randy, though, you know, we've got 3 minutes. We've got time and got to go. But where can we get the book right now?
So it is, you know, there. The look, this is new for me. This is my first book. It may be my only book. It almost killed me to write it in between my day job. And by the way, half of the proceeds of the book go to our disaster relief fund and our education fund. I really wanted to give back. So, but you can get it, you know, in any independent bookstore, lots of them. The publisher just told me about 30,000 books were mailed out to bookstores and other places. So you can get it at your independent bookstore. You can get it on Bookshop. You can get it. The biggest place that books get sold these days, no comment, is Amazon. That is where the New York Times gets its list. That's whatever. And you can pre-order it on Amazon right now. Just type in Why Fascists Fear Teachers. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it in lots of different places. And I'm doing a lot of small independent bookstores. I'm doing readings or book launches there because those are the places that I want to support in terms of what they do, like libraries for America.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's where democracy, right? Get it in that bookstore, start to have a conversation.
So, and also supporting our small businesses at this moment. And so, you know, it was the publisher is Penguin Random House. And I'm just amazed that we were able to do all of this stuff. But what Johnny said originally at the beginning of this podcast, it is about being seen and the kind of celebration of what education is, what teachers do, and what we need to do as Americans.
Oh. Man, almost wish I could say, well, I am going to say, Randy Weingarten, thank you so much for coming on Busted Pencils. We always appreciate it. Please go wherever you go, but especially small bookstores when you see about one of these readings or book signings. Randy Weingarten, her book, Why Fascists Fear Teachers, love it. And Randy, please come back and tell us how it's doing about midway.
Thank you.
We get back, though, Tim and Johnny from the Alternative Office breaking it down when we get back.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Constipation with belly pain that keeps coming back and back and back. If your symptoms keep coming back, talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C. Linzess could help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop
Stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Turn things all the way up and find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Woo. Go so fast when you're busting pencils. Well, that's what you're doing. You're busting pencils with Dr. Tim Slecker, Dr. Johnny Lupinaggi, Jacob, chairman of the board, and yeah, that was Randy Weingarten, president of AFT, brand new book tour coming out, Why Fascists Fear Teachers, and that discussion was like, okay, I want to do more and more of those types of interviews. You know, and Jacob, I want to get your perspective, Jacob, because you got to listen there and see this, or and like, any thoughts, reflections, reactions?
Well, Tim, I had a great time meeting Randy for the first time here. I thought that it was great hearing about our book. I was especially happy to see that when I got you guys an advanced copy of the book, you did read it. And we're excited because I wasn't sure if that producer stuff I was doing was going to pay off or not. But now I feel very fulfilled in my Hollywood abilities as your superstar agent to get you these advanced copies. So I'm very plussed about it.
Well, even that. Thank you. I mean, it was great. And like John was saying, it's one of those things, you know, you start reading and then the next thing you know, you're like, oh my God, I can't stop. I want to put it. Oh, wait. Oh, somebody's calling. Ah, they can wait. You know, I'm reading right now. Johnny, I'd see you, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's excellent, fellas. And the thing about it, Tim and Jacob, that's so special about this. Yeah, we had Randy on. She's a great guest. You know, listeners, if you're not familiar with their work, you know, Google her. You can find some really great talks she's given. And she represents teachers so strongly. In a moment where we say it all the time, it's the toughest time to be a teacher. In my whole lifetime of teaching, it's the hardest time to be a teacher. It's also the most rewarding time. So it's so special, too, because, you know, Tim, people ask all the time, what do you do? Well, I teach. I might say, oh, I'm a professor, or I teach teachers. And people are curious, like, what's it like to be a teacher? I might even say, I'm a math teacher, or I'm a social studies teacher, or I'm a chemistry teacher. But this book reminded me so much of the depth of what we do as teachers, right? I'm not just a teacher. I'm a person teaching critical thinking, right? I'm fostering, a safe and welcoming environment. I'm, creating opportunity. Randy has a whole section, teachers create opportunity.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I just don't teach math. I create opportunities, right? And then above all that, it culminates with what comes next, right? I belong to a group of people who all do these things. They teach critical thinking. They foster safe and welcoming environments. They create opportunities. And we do it together, as part of freedom and responsibility being intimately intertwined. So that whole notion, man, it's just a book where you read story after story about why we as teachers do what we do and how it's incredibly difficult to continue to do this amazing work in the context or an environment where not only are teachers disliked, but they're being undermined at every turn. So I really appreciate the book. It gave a lot of oomph, as you can tell, with my excitement to being a teacher. But there's lots for us to talk about in our class and sessions this week and probably even into next week, because there's so much stuff that Randy's given us here, Tim. I can't wait to keep chopping it up with you and the listeners.
Nice. I'd love it too. And Johnny, what you're talking about there, is the four core roles teachers play that Randy identified. They are truth tellers. They're bridge builders. They're opportunity makers. And guess what? Yeah, they're part of the union and they're union organizers. That's it. And Johnny, the reminder of going, wait, that is what I do, right? It's like we lost that. And I said, historically, it has been slowly eroded away that those are the things that we do as teachers. We've been sold a bill of goods for so long. The idea that, a current administration that wants to put, fascistic, I don't know.
exactly right, Tim.
Thank you, Jacob. Guess what? Teachers now, though, maybe this is the awakening that this book does, is to go, oh, my God, now I remember. I knew I got into this for, man, so much. But you know what, though, Johnny? Now it's time for your moment of zen. The future is an infinite succession of presents. And to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. All right, everybody, thank you so much for busting pencils with us on this Saturday. The download, if you want to get it, make sure you can go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you name it. Check out Civic Media's website. And, of course, bustedpencils.com. You can check out all kinds of things there. Maybe even, find a Busted Pencils t-shirt if you want one. But make sure to Monday, homeroom, Wednesday, classes in session, Friday, Jacobs, chairman of the board's choice, special shows there. And yes, every Saturday, you get Tim and Johnny for 1 hour of your favorite blue collar scholars, and keep busting pencils.
This This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Allison Keyes. Lawmakers and advocates from both the left and right are doing some soul searching in the wake of this week's politically motivated killing of conservative leader Charlie Kirk. Kirk's funeral is set for next Sunday at the home of the Arizona Cardinals. North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis is criticizing commentators who say the nation is at war. CBS News reporter Cara Finstrom.
Bob Schrum is the director of USC's Center for the Political Future. He says this assassination of conservative activist Charlie Kirk should alarm everyone.
If we go down that road, we are heading toward the destruction of democracy.
Kirk's murder follows other recent acts of violence, including murders of a senior Democratic state lawmaker and her husband in Minnesota. Schrum believes numerous factors have fueled the country's polarization.
We don't have a common basis of information anymore. Conspiracy theories abound.
In London, a